immortal, invisible, God only wise. God only wise. That is a great hymn of worship, isn't it? Our sister Violet Birds introduced that hymn to me. I'd never sung it before. And we were taking requests one Wednesday night. She requested that. I was leading the singing. Didn't know the song. I'm sure glad I learned it. God only wise. Here in 1 Corinthians, the Lord mentions wisdom, or what it means to be wise or unwise, a dozen times, 12 times in 14 verses. Wisdom is mentioned. Read verses 20 and 21 with me again. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe, or the one who is purported to know the word? Where is the disputer, arguer, gainsayer, debater of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? After that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. And it pleased God, in His wisdom, it pleased Him by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe that preaching. Wisdom, according to Webster's dictionary, wisdom is knowledge with the capacity or ability to make good use of it. Okay, knowledge, the ability to make good use of it. Or someone once said this in a very clear way: knowledge is the horse, like a horse, and wisdom is the rider. Doesn't matter how big and strong and beautiful a horse it is, if you can't ride him, it's no good to you. But wisdom here is the knowledge with the ability to make good use of it, to have good discernment, judgment, understanding, discretion, and put it to use, make good judgments, dealings, and so forth. So he says, where is the wise? He looks around at the world he lived in, and I look around at our world, and I say, where is the wise, truly wise person? Has not God, he said, made foolish, revealed the utter ignorance of the so-called wisdom of this world? We're going to see that in a moment, if you stay with me, if the Lord will keep you. Over in Romans chapter 1, a chapter, you might as well turn there, I have. Romans chapter 1, a chapter that we look at, or at least quote, all the time. And I say it again, Romans 1 is as clear a description of now, of our generation, the condition it's in and why, as of any generation ever. Romans 1, look at verses 19 through 22. That which may be known of God, and he was talking about creation, verse 18, and the scriptures, they hold the truth, a Bible, for evil purposes. That which may be known of God is manifest in them. It's revealed to them. God hath showed it to them. Invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. That these things reveal themselves, don't they? That God is. Even His eternal power and Godhead, they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, that is, these things clearly reveal a wise Creator, they glorified Him not as God, as the Creator, owner, ruler, neither were thankful. Creator, one who makes all things, one who provides all things. And it's only right to give him thanks, isn't it? To acknowledge him. Read on. But became vain in their imagination, their thoughts. Their foolish heart was darkened. Read on. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Utter and complete fools. Fools. In verse 28 there of Romans 1 says, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. They have a lot of knowledge, a lot of things they learn, ever learning, Paul said in one place, but never coming to a knowledge of the truth. Ever learning. But God is not in all of their knowledge. They're not interested. So God, what does it say? What does it say in verse 28? Gave them over to a reprobate mind. If you have a margin, the reference is, the meaning of reprobate is a mind void of judgment, or as we would say, don't have good sense. Or in plainer language, don't have a clue. I don't care how wise they seem to be. And this is what Paul is saying. Go back to our text in 1 Corinthians 1. He says, where is the wise? I don't see anybody wise in this world. Do you? Look at, and I'm dealing with religion and politics this morning, but look at the best that our country has to offer that's running for the highest office in this land. Look at it. It's incredible, isn't it? And we will be faced with choosing the lesser of all the evils, won't we? Honestly. Well, where is the wise, he said, in this world? Hath not God made foolish the so-called wisdom of this world? It says they didn't like to retain God in their knowledge. Imagine that. You imagine that. God, Scripture says, in whose hands our breath is and all our ways, yet man, God who removes the breath and you're gone. And yet, nobody wants to think about it. God, Scripture says, in whom we live and move and have our being, who directs our steps, our path, and everything about us, sends all things. Don't want to think about it. That's utter foolishness, isn't it? God, who Scripture says is light. If you don't know God, you're in darkness. God, who Scripture says is wisdom, Christ, who is wisdom. That means, if you don't know Christ, I don't care what you know, you're a fool. Right? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? According to God's Word, in Psalm 14 and Isaiah 29, he quotes that there. It says, God looked down from heaven. Now, this is a figure of speech, you know. God speaks often in a language that us poor creatures can understand. You know that, don't you? God looked down from heaven. God in whose hands we are, and we live and move and have our being. It's a figure of speech. But it says, listen to Psalm 14. The fool hath said, a fool, an utter fool hath said, no God. There is no God. And God says he looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand. Understand what? Anything. The chief thing being that God is. And that we're life is so vain. As Solomon wrote books on this, didn't he? Vanity of vanities. We live a few short years and then we're dead. Then what? Why? Only a fool would not stop and consider going to a long home. We're going somewhere we're not going to come back. said, God, look down, see if there were any that seek God. He says, they're all gone aside. He goes on to say, these workers of iniquity have no knowledge, none. And he quotes Isaiah 29 here in verse 19. He says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I'll bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Let's just look at it just real briefly. And then we're going to go look at true wisdom, okay? Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Science, Paul, the Scriptures calls it falsely so-called. Doesn't it? The study of science, falsely so-called. Science means, the word means study of truth. Who is truth? What is truth? Well, science and medicine. These are two fields of wisdom. The supposedly wisest men and women are in these fields, aren't they? Well, just a few hundred years ago, everybody thought this world was flat. The wisest men on earth. And everybody believed it. So-and-so says, and he went to school, and he studied under the greatest men, and he says it's flat. Oh, okay. I believe you. When 3,500 years ago, God Almighty wrote in Isaiah 40:22 that God sits on the circle of the earth. Had anybody been reading a Bible, they would have clearly seen it's round. Had they just looked up in the sky and they would see a round moon, a round sun, right? Or any mariner knows, any sailor knows, as you watch a ship go over the horizon, it sinks, it goes down. What's that mean? It's going over a hill. If something's flat, Ron, you look at it, it rises, doesn't it? The horizon. If it's flat, you go on a road out there in or Kansas or wherever, and you look at those roads that stretch for miles, they look like they're going up, don't they? They're flat. If something's round, ships on the horizon go down until you don't see their mast anymore. Utter fools. It's flat, though. Experts, wise men say it's flat. That's just 600 years ago. 3,500 years ago. Well, God said it's round. Well, medicine. And then we're making foolish the wisdom of this world. Hath not God... He said, didn't we read there in Romans 1, that invisible, they clearly seen, that which may be known of them is clearly seen. Huh? Medicine, just a few hundred years ago, they say, don't wash whatever you do. You'll get sick. You'll get these germs and whatever if you wash. Because your body's got this protective... Honestly... Don't wash, you wash away the protective covering. The finest doctors, and everybody believes them. Shut all the windows. Don't breathe any of that air. Don't go outside in the sunlight. And what we're going to do to make you well if you get sick is take all the blood out of you. We're going to bleed you to death. That's a good picture of religion, isn't it? We're going to take all the blood out of it. That's what's wrong with religion, isn't it? No light. Hadn't been washed. And no blood. That's medicine. Well, thousands of years later, science Now we've learned better, haven't we? Now we're wise, aren't we? Thousands of years later, our scientists are now. They're above believing the world is flat. Now what the wise men that we paid millions and billions of dollars to do, now they're looking at black holes in space, looking for the mysteries of the universe in a black hole. Where is the wise? You see what he said? Where is the wise? Medicine can't cure the common cold. Can't even prevent it. Can't even prevent it. The simplest thing of all. And that's by design. God Almighty is showing man, you're a totally helpless creature. I thank God for the strides and that man has made by his grace. Thank God for the technology and so forth. But it hasn't made him any wiser, has it? He's an utter fool. An utter fool. Did you hear that? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? He'll take these so-called wise men and women and have them standing around looking at a black hole. He'd take his people, Patrick, and open their eyes. Shed light on everything. Not looking in black holes. Looking in the face of a person. God Himself. Religion, man reveals his ignorance more than anything in religion, more than anywhere else. Religion, and this is why, you see, that man looks in a black hole. Religion, man's utter ignorance and foolishness nowhere is more evident than religion. Thousands of years later, men and women the world over, right now as I speak, even in modern America, are still bowing down before idols and shrines and wearing little good luck charms and trinkets and so forth. And going to men, going before just men and confessing their sins and asking these men to do something for them with God. How ignorant can you be? Huh? Hath not God made foolish? Man's not wise. Verse 21, he says, but after in the wisdom of God, God in his wisdom, the world by wisdom knew not God. World by wisdom, by searching the heavens. It says that in the book of Job. Can man by searching find out God? No. No, you can't. By searching, you can't. You can sit on a hill all day long with your legs crossed, all you, and your eyes crossed. They used to call it navel gazing, you know. Navel gazing, all you'll find is lint. If you caught that, if you're listening. And all you'll get is aching legs and see double with your eyes crossed. You won't find God. And a man by searching oneself. Okay, you look deep within yourself then. Look deep within yourself. You do some soul searching. What are you going to find if you do soul searching? You're going to look, what you're doing is looking into a black hole. Can't find God that way. What about ask men? You ask men. That's the thing, dude. Go to the wisest men who have studied in monasteries and so forth. Go to them and ask them about God. They don't know. They're blind leaders of the blind. Our Lord, I love this story. The Lord in Luke chapter 10 and Matthew's gospel. He just stopped one time. And I looked toward heaven. Says he rejoiced in spirit. He rejoiced. I think that means he laughed out loud. He rejoiced in spirit. He said, I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent. He hid them all and revealed them unto babes. Aren't you? Aren't you glad? Don't you rejoice? God in His wisdom, the world by wisdom knew not God. Aren't you glad that it's not by wisdom? If it was, if only the real, real intelligent and smart people could find out God, I wouldn't know Him, would you? But God reveals Himself. He must reveal Him. Chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, we're going to look at that. He says, what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of that man? You don't know what I'm thinking, let alone God. You don't know what I'm thinking until I tell you. What about God? Well, you ask Brother Henry what I'm thinking. He doesn't know either. I'm going to have to tell you. Well, what about God? He must reveal Himself. Oh, my, hadn't God. And here's the way that God has pleased to reveal Himself. Verse 21 says, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe, that is, those whom God Almighty gives this precious gift of faith, repentance and faith, through this means of preaching, believing the message preached. This is the means that God Almighty, what I'm doing right now, and others are doing right now, this is the means that God Almighty has always used to reveal Himself, to give life. It's amazing, really. Paul said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power, that it might be clearly seen that this is of God. It has to be. To give life. Can these bones live, Ezekiel? Well, speak to them. Preach to dead bones. That's right. What the world calls foolishness. And when he says the foolishness of preaching, I'm not a fool. What I'm doing this morning is not much of foolishness. There are men who are utter fools. You see them. You hear them. They're utter fools, aren't they? And what they're saying is a pack of foolishness. What they're doing all over the land in the name of God is utter foolishness and make God out to be less than a man. They make the God in man's hands. What kind of foolishness is that anyway? Well, but I'm not a fool, and what I'm doing this morning is not foolishness. And I'm not preaching a message of foolishness. And I'm not acting like a fool. And you'll never come here by God's grace and see a bunch of foolishness going on. People wallowing around and talking like blooming idiots and all of this stuff and all these statues and all that foolishness. By God's grace. But all you'll hear is this right here. This preaching. And the world calls this foolishness. That's why he says the foolishness of preaching. It's not foolishness. God doesn't use foolishness. But this is what the world calls foolishness. It goes on to say the foolishness of God. That means what God uses, this preaching, the world calls foolishness. And weakness, what the world calls weakness. Well, this is the means that God Almighty. Now, listen, that God Almighty uses. Listen carefully now. It's not preaching, or that is the act of preaching itself, or the preacher. You understand that? Boy, I'm coming to understand that more and more all the time. It's not by might or by power, that is, eloquence, charisma, persuasiveness, personality, ability, skill, having a way with people, sway with people, and all of that and so forth. Being a good speaker, a good organizer. That's not it. Not the manner. It's not the man. Not the man. Apparently, Paul the Apostle had what some of the old writers called terrible eye condition, weak eyes, probably very nearsighted. and couldn't see. They didn't have spectacles back then. And other people had to write epistles for him, Sherry. He couldn't see hardly. They said his bodily presence is weak. Weak and contemptible. And others said, the wise and the wise people of the world said, his speech, he's a vain babbler. He doesn't talk in eloquent, with eloquent words and so forth. Paul said, I'm not going to do that. Not going to do that. It's not the preaching or the preacher, but it's the word that it's preached. This is the means that God has used, but it's not the means that saves. It's the word. It's the word. The word of God is the power of God. You heard me quote it on the radio this morning, if you listen. Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. The word of God. He upholds all things by the word of his power. Peter said, being born again, born from above, given life from above by the word of God. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. The word of God. And he said, more particularly, this is the word. It's not just preaching the Bible. A lot of people say that, don't they? Peter went on to say, this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Oh, now we're getting somewhere, aren't we? It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. Preaching what? The gospel. To save them that believe. Well, what is the gospel? Huh? And once again, this is the means that God Almighty uses. It's not gospel singing. No one has ever been saved in the history of the world by gospel singing. No, sir. Find me one in the Scripture. Find me one example, and I'll say I'm sorry. No, sir. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And I've given you many reasons before in God's wisdom why he chose this means. Number one, you have to sit down and shut up to hear it. It's not everybody giving their 2 cents. That's about all our opinion and all is worth. And nobody, if you pitched in, everybody in here is 2 cents, how much would you have? $3.48, I guess. But the preaching, we have to sit down, we have to shut up. It's humbling. It's humbling, isn't it? You have to sit and listen to a man. Somebody may be younger than you. Somebody less education than you. Maybe less gifted at speaking than you. It is wise, the wisdom of God, because this and this don't work at the same time. One, when one is open, the other one's shut. That's right. And faith cometh by what? Hearing. And God Almighty sends a man, and he comes with the word of God, carefully prepared, prayerfully prepared, word from God, from the word of God, many arrows, shooting many arrows. And I guarantee you, those of you who know the truth, believe, you have come with questions, and amazingly, miraculously, you didn't have to ask any of them. They were all answered for you. God knows. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart, the word of God. Preaching. And because sheep are an animal that needs to graze, he brings them together and makes them to lie down in these green pastures of the word and beside the still waters, and they congregate and feed off of the word and each other, and they need each other. And from that day forward, they will always need to hear this preaching and to have this fellowship with the saints. God in his wisdom. You see, heaven is a congregation. of sheep. And this is where he gathers them. He gathers his elect under the sound of the preaching. And there are many, many other reasons for this, the means that God used. But he says the preaching of the cross in verse 17 and 18. The gospel is the preaching of the cross. We used the whole message 2 Wednesdays ago on that, didn't we? That was the whole message. What is the preaching of the cross? 2 Wednesdays ago. Well, here it is again. He says in verse 23, we preach Christ crucified. See, we don't hold up blocks of wood. We don't glory in, we don't wear them, we don't have them anywhere here, do we? That's an idol. That's a graven image, isn't it? When Paul said, I glory in the cross of Christ, he's not talking about a block of wood or worshiping an image, symbols, and beggarly element. No, no, no. He's talking about the one who hung there and what he did. Christ crucified. The cross of Christ. The gospel is Christ and him crucified. In chapter 2, verse 2, he says, I'm determined. I determined not to know anything among you. Everybody's taken up with a lot of things. But he said, this is the one thing. Christ and him crucified. Christ crucified. A man hanging on a cross. A man who was more than a man. Hanging on a cross. Why was he hanging on a cross? I read the paper, Franklin News Post, and I don't know who writes their religious things for them on the religious page in the middle there. It's just a generic religious article, you know. Do you read it? You read it. Some of you do, don't you? I don't know who writes that, but whoever wrote it for Christmas time, they said that Jesus came to bring in this new love and so forth. And they quoted what our Lord said. He did quote that our Lord said, I am come to bear witness of the truth. For this cause, he said, came I into the world to bear witness. That's what the Lord said before Pilate. But that's not all he said about why he came. Did he? You remember when our Lord said one time, what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. For this hour, for this cause, came I into the world. What cause, Lord? What hour? What purpose? What is your real purpose for coming here? I am come here to hang on a cross. I am come. I am made flesh and to dwell among you. To walk a road that ends up with me hanging on a tree. At the hands of God Almighty. Dead. Christ crucified. That's the sum and the substance of the gospel, isn't it? Huh? Christ crucified. That he was made sin. He was a substitute. A bloody sacrifice for sin. To pay sin's penalty. That an angry God, a holy God, and an angry God said, the soul that sinneth must surely die. So Scripture says God made his soul an offering for sin. It pleased God, the Lord, to bruise him, to kill, to slay, to shed the blood of his own son. Now you understand them. Most of you understand that. but the world. I challenge you to listen carefully. Do you hear anybody saying those very things today in religion? That a holy God, an angry God, an offended God, a just God, who will by no means clear the guilty, demands blood. And the guilty soul will die for it and forever be punished unless somebody is your substitute. Do you ever hear anybody say those things? Do you ever hear words like mercy? The need, the most desperate need of mankind, mercy. That means you're guilty. Grace, gift, handout, a beggar. Huh? Propitiation. Propitiate, make friendly, make give a covering. Oh, the civilized world says that's foolishness, don't they? They say that's foolishness. And the reason being is right here, this pulpit. Not this one, but all over the land, pulpits. They have said so long now, God is not like that. And since it says that so clearly in this book, we'll make our own version of it. It's too clear in this book, so what we'll do is make all sorts of translations. You know, take a penknife and cut out what we don't like. And then we'll have our own Bible that doesn't mention blood or no Jenner. Right? Until you have to say, like Isaac of old, who was walking up that mountain with his father to worship. And he said, Father, here's the wood and here's the fire. Where's the lamb? You can't go to God without a bloody lamb. God won't be worshipped. Won't speak to you, have anything to do, won't be accept you except through the blood of a sacrifice, a bloody sacrifice. Where's the lamb? Huh? Oh, God's people have a lamb, don't they? They call it foolishness. They say God is not like that. God is only love. And millions of people, though they wear this little emblem around their neck and in their ears, hath not God made foolish? They wear this cross in their ears, and the most vile, wicked people wear it around their necks. It's the good luck charm. Around their neck. What is that cross? It's an emblem of a man who hung there suffering the wrath and judgment of God Almighty. God killed him. Butchered him. Oh. That's a bunch of fool. That's old, barbaric. That's foolishness. No. That's the gospel. Isn't it? That's the gospel. Well, to the Greek, he said, read on, I got to hurry. Jews require a sign. Verse 22. Jews require a sign. Greeks seek after wisdom. Jews represent religious people. They want a sign. Show us a sign from God. Well, last Sunday, didn't we see the greatest sign of all? Isaiah 7. What verse? 14. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. I'll show you a sign, God said, a virgin shall conceive. Virgin born son. God made flesh. They seek a sign, though. Still seek a sign. Religion still seeks signs, miracles, wonders, visions, tongues, and so forth. Our Lord said they're evil. An evil, the greatest sign of all, the greatest thing of all, which angels desire to look into, Tim. Angels desire to look into. Christ made flesh. And yet men and women are all taken up with, well, if only we could talk like blooming idiots. Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? I got the spirit. What you got is an evil spirit, you fool. But God Almighty, revealing His Son, glory of God, the wisdom of God to His people. Greeks seek wisdom. Greeks, we want philosophy. Give us Give us a wise story. Give us something deep. Doesn't it say that in Him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? Something wise. If you'll read Proverbs 8, you'll read something wise. And now, don't you rejoice that the wise and the prudent, so-called, can read Proverbs 8 and go away just as foolish and ignorant? And you read that, and who do you see? Huh? You know who that's talking about. Jews, it's a stumbling block. Christ crucified. The cross of Christ is a stumbling block to religious people, to Jews. The Jews said, listen, the Jews said, when Christ came and they saw Him finally hung on a cross, the Jews said, we thought, this couldn't be the Christ. This couldn't be the Christ, the Messiah. Because we thought that He was going to come and set up a kingdom, you know, and sit on the throne there in Jerusalem, and we're all going to reign with Him since we're such special people, you know. And we're all good Jews, and here He comes, our King, and He's going to sit on the throne. We're going to reign with Him. He's going to kill all these infidels, and there's our King. But this man's hanging on a cross. He's dead. John, he sent. That's where He ascended His throne, wasn't it? That's where He led captivity captive. That's where God put all things under His feet. You see that? The world doesn't see. They still say, modern Christianity still says, we think Jesus is coming to Jerusalem and set up a worldly kingdom. But He said, if they'd been listening, He said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it was, we would fight. He said, the kingdom of God comes not with observation, here or there. He said, it's standing in front of you. And even the disciples said, show us the Father, show us the sign, show us this. He said, I am that I am. Want a sign? Here I am. What a sign, what a miracle, what a wonder. Let's look at the I Am. Christ. Well, crucified, though. It says the Greeks think it's foolishness. A bloody sacrifice, an angry God, how foolish. Because man, that's not the way God is. God is love, and man is good, man is wise. Man is evolving upward. Man is evolving upward. Man's a little God, is what he is. He just needs educating. Is that right? He's more wicked than ever. Were not God to destroy him personally, man would destroy himself. Even man recognizes we're going to destroy ourselves if something doesn't happen. Why? Because we're fools. We're not evolving upward. Man started out upright, Scripture says. He didn't start out as a monkey. He became one. He started out upright. Doesn't Scripture say that? Man, God created man upright, but now he's crawling on all fours. Hath not God. But God. But God. Verse 24. Unto them which are called. They're called. How's God called? Right here. I don't believe that. Okay. Stay in darkness. But unto them which are called. Oh, bound to give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Aren't we? Thanks to God, because God hath from the beginning chosen you. God's elect. I don't believe that, but okay. God's people do. Hath chosen you. Through sanctification of spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel. What is it? Here's a man hanging on a tree. Look and be saved. All the ends of the earth. He's God. There is none else. Neither is there any name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. But at the name of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, whoever looks be saved forever. Christ, the called. Christ, the power of God, and I quit. And the wisdom of God. And this deserves a whole message by itself, doesn't it? Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. He goes on to say, and I will, Wednesday night we'll look at this more in depth, but he says, the foolishness of God, what God you. Yeah, it's old, all right. It's old-fashioned, all right. It's as old as God. He said that, didn't he? Search and seek out the old paths wherein is a good way. And you'll find rest. Old path. Way. Old way. Yeah, you understand exactly when I say that, when I quote that. Christ said, I'm the way. Old, ever with him from the old. And they call it weakness. It's only for the weak and the ignorant. That's right. That's exactly right. But here's the power of God. He says he's able to save to the uttermost. Man has tried for thousands of years to educate man upward, govern him, keep him from whatever, to change him, and he can't do it. What God does in one message. Well, a combination of several. But what God Almighty can and does do through this right here. What God accomplishes through a man's... That's no good. It's the power of God. Man spends billions and billions and billions of dollars on psychiatry, self-help programs, seminars, sending in all your money, and you'll have rest and peace. No, you won't. No, you won't. But God says, come, buy something without money, without price, and you don't have to pay a man. It's free. Able to save the uttermost, able to break the hardest heart, the most obstinate will, able to bend the unbendable knee. That's right. I've talked to people that I'm blue in the face. I've given my best arguments, and it doesn't work. Only to see God Almighty, unbeknownst to me, use one word to just break their heart and mind. The strongest will, bring it into subjection, change the most obstinate mind, give lasting peace, give peace that passes understanding. Joy, turn lions into lambs, devils into saints, strong men into weak babies, and weak babies into strong. That's wisdom. That's power, isn't it? Huh? Let me close with this illustration. Some of you read that story about old John Warburton. John Warburton, sinner saved by God's grace, whom the Lord later made a preacher. Well, he lived back during the time of William Gadsby, the man who compiled that hymn book in front of you, Gadsby's Hymnal. Brother Gadsby was a preacher himself. Apparently, he wasn't a gifted speaker, just a plain, ordinary preacher. But anyway, story has it, Brother Warburton tells the story, that when he was a young man, thinking he knew everything, he and some of his friends, and there wasn't much entertainment back then, except to go hear the preacher or go to some play or whatever. And when preacher came, everybody went. traveling preacher. Brother Gadsby came to preach, and it says, Brother Warburton tells the story, of he and his friends went to make fun of him. He and some of his rowdy friends got together, and they said, "We're going to go and poke fun. We're going to bring this preacher down. We're going to scoff him and mock him and bring him down to nothing." Because he's just an ignorant fella. And so they went there and they sat. Brother Warburton sat there. That young man, that young agnostic man, sat there, and he said, "I'll listen to him a little bit." And he's writing his story in his biography. And he admitted, he said, "When I heard Mr. Gadsby speak and open his mouth," he said, "I laughed. I thought he was so plain, so homely, so ignorant." But he kept listening. And he kept listening. And God broke his heart. He went in there, Barbara, to make fun of this man, to bring this man down. And God used that plain man preaching that message to bring him down. And made him a preacher. Made him a preacher like they said of Paul, like Paul said of himself. Here's what men hear, that he who once persecuted and despised now preaches the faith that he once hated. Now who can do that but God? And that was me. That was me. I remember telling one of my rowdy friends that everything my pastor had preached for years is that I could disprove it. You imagine that. Now here I am. And no doubt some young buck said that about me. May God have mercy upon him. And if God's pleased, Brenda, he'll bring that young buck and set him down and break his proud heart. And he'll never be the same. That's the power of God. All right, Brother Gabe, you come. Sing a closing hymn.